Good afternoon. You're listening to KRUU FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. This is Erica Richards, and you are now joining me for an hour of in-depth with Erica Richards. And I welcome everyone for coming today. You are going to be in for quite a treat. We have an hour of talking about some cutting-edge activity in Fairfield, as though there isn't already enough of that. You may have heard in different ways, there's a new project going on in town, north of town, called Cypress Villages. It's an idea that has been percolating for quite a while now and is beginning to really take shape and beginning to look like something feasible. And I wanted to take an hour today with someone in our studio today who's pretty critical to the whole thing. Her name is Martha Norbeck. She is a sustainability specialist with Cypress Villages. For your information, Cypress Villages is a subsidiary of the Walker Group. That is a business in town that will, that has been working with insurance and claims adjustments and holds classes and has really grown quite a bit over the last few years. So welcome to the studio, Martha. Nice to have you.
Thank you, Erica. Glad to be here.
I wanted to talk a little bit about you first today. I wanted to introduce you to our community and find out a little bit about you as a person, how long you've been here, what your background is, and what your involvement is in Cypress Villages. So, talk to me. How long have you been in Fairfield, and where are you from?
I was born and raised in Iowa City.
Mm-hmm.
And I left for 15 years to go study eco-villages in Sweden.
Oh, my.
To get an undergraduate in women's studies to work in politics in Washington, D.C. So I've traveled around and then decided to come back and settle in Iowa because ultimately this is my place. No matter how cool it is on the ocean or in the mountains,
yes.
this is where I'm from. These are my roots. So yes. It feels good to be back here.
Yes.
And I came back here after getting my master's in architecture to work with Neumann Munson Architects, located in Iowa City.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a growing green focus. And up there I was the lead specialist working on James Van Allen Elementary, and they became LEED certified. LEED is a green building rating system, which is sort of like a checklist for LEED certified building in Iowa.
Wow.
The first school. And Neumann Munson is going on with more and more buildings that are LEED registered. And I came up with this opportunity with Cypress Villages, and it was too good to refuse.
I could imagine.
I had been working with Lonnie Gamble for a number of years. We crossed paths due to our mutual interest in green building.
Yep.
And I come down and work with Lonnie a lot and worked with him on a permaculture class last summer, and I will again this summer. And it's just been really great. It's always magical to come down to Fairfield. So it was really neat to be able to come down here. So I vacation in Iowa City on the weekends now.
Oh, fantastic. as opposed to the rest of us who, you know. Actually, we do vacation in Iowa City on the weekends. That's true. That's right.
Only my house is there.
Your house is there. So it is kind of a reverse vacation in a way.
Yes.
And you have been in Fairfield working with Dan Walker in Cypress Villages for how long now?
Since mid-January.
Mid-January. Wow. So you're really kind of stepping in at the early stages here, and you've had a few months to get your feet wet and kind of know what we're doing, and you were hired on specifically because of your background in expertise in green building and eco-villaging. Tell me a little bit about that time in Sweden. Why Sweden?
Well, it's sort of odd. When I was 16, I went to Sweden as an exchange student, so I knew Swedish. So that's part of how I wound up in Sweden, because I wanted to do a Fulbright research project, and I was looking at green design in Europe, and it just seemed that Sweden was a good fit because they had a strong emphasis not only on the eco-villages, but on a national level that green design had been blossoming And so that was just a good fit.
So they were really, they were government-supported, community and socially supported in that direction in terms of eco-villaging.
And there is an eco-village movement around the world.
Yeah. And would you define for me eco-village?
An eco-village is an intentional community that is created around the idea of a shared commitment to environmental responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so the Swedish eco-villages are really just almost just subdivisions or neighborhoods that have a shared commitment. There are some eco-villages that have gone a fair bit further and have incorporated a lot of business components and CSAs, community-supported agriculture. But the ones in Sweden were primarily just residential communities. Mm-hmm. The part that was most compelling to me in Sweden was there's two extremely well-known eco-villages, The Farm in Tennessee and Findhorn in the UK, and both of those were done outside of the city as sort of independent components. And I was very interested in looking at communities that were integrated with a larger community because I had an interest of how do you bring green to the mainstream. And that's why the Swedish eco-villages were so compelling, because they were within biking or bus distance of the center of town. They were not people who had spent their entire life trying to figure out how to, you know, build an electric bicycle. They are just folks who believe in the vision of environmental responsibility, who wanted to live that way, and they're doctors, teachers, lawyers, mechanics.
Do you find a distinction between the European mindset around eco-villages versus here in the United States? Are they a little bit ahead of us in that sense?
I think the advantage in Sweden is that connection with larger community, which is possible. It's sort of interesting, if and then they push some more, and it's this back and forth. But you're talking 8 million people. It's a lot easier to achieve that.
Yes.
And so I would say in the U.S., by the nature of how we do things, that it's been harder to get eco-villages off the ground. What's been more successful in the U.S. is co-housing with an ecological focus, which is in a lot of ways an eco-village, but it's not called that. We're very... words are very meaningful to us and evoke all these different images. And so when I hear the word eco-village in our culture, it evokes images of people who are fringe and don't want to participate in the larger culture, which is absolutely the opposite of the truth. And yet these stereotypes persist. And so the co-housing has been more successful in integrating these ecological principles and being part of the larger community, whereas you have these awesome places like The Farm that, you know, have made tremendous progress, but they don't get the accolades that they would if they were integrated within a larger community.
That's right. They do tend to sort of be an example of those stereotypes that we tend to do in this country. And in Europe, of course, things are more centralized. You are dealing with less geography, less people who are also much more of a single-mindedness, I think, than we're so independent here in this country. And so it's an interesting challenge for you to sort of retell the story about what these are and to enroll people and get them interested and to see that it is a feasible way of life, that it's not something fringy, and certainly we see it here. And even here, I think, with Eco Village, that's just outside of town here, north of town, I think people even here in Fairfield find it a little bit unattainable, that it's expensive to a degree to get off the grid, in a sense. And so Cypress Villages, is this a way that people can participate in this ideal model of living in a way that is doable for people?
Well, the Abundance Eco Village is, without question, more independent than Cypress Villages will be. They are not connected to the grid. there was rumor that they might connect to the grid. But in order to be sort of something in between, like this LEED rating system, which is really trying to achieve market transformation, is we're not going to be able to do all those things that they're mm-hmm. able to do at Abundance Eco Village because we're trying to reach a wider audience.
Give me an example of how this LEED system would operate in Abundance Eco Village versus Cypress Villages in terms of a scale of numbers people can identify what that would look like. So, for instance, Abundance Eco Village would be where on the scale of a LEED rating?
Well, it actually wouldn't be on the scale.
Right.
And part of that is the LEED for Neighborhoods program, which is a pilot program right now.
Mm-hmm.
The houses are in the Eco Village are so far beyond LEED that they don't even meet some of the prerequisites for the LEED rating system because they've done so much better. And so LEED really is aimed towards market transformation.
Yes, whereas on a more broader scale.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Abundance Eco Village is way beyond that. And so to go back and to compare them to LEED isn't even a reasonable. It's not fair.
It's not fair, right. Right. They just don't even fit the model at all.
No, they don't. I mean, there's some rules like what's called commissioning,
mm-hmm.
and is to have an independent agent come in and make sure everything's functioning the way it's supposed to be and all the controls are set the way they're supposed to be. Well, if you don't have a heating system other than passive solar and a backup furnace or solar hot air, or solar radiant heat in the floor, there's not a lot to check. And then in terms of the tightness of the house, I mean, that's a given. It's not something you go back and make sure it attains it. That's built into the entire mission
okay.
of the project.
So Cypress Villages is a little bit more on the mainstream in terms of what we would recognize as a community. Now, Martha, talk to me a little bit about what you're going to bring to this larger project, which we're going to talk about. We're leading into it and just trying to define what the scope is that we're talking about here.
I'm giving a variance there because after we got our survey done by a local engineering firm, we realized that we needed to reconfigure it to better accommodate the natural contours of the land. We wanted to add to a sort of a feeling of you're living out in farmland, and so to create a community that feels like it should be in Chicago isn't the right message. That wasn't the message we were aiming for. So we reduced the density somewhat.
And the land, and tell me, where is the land?
The land is at the corner of Highway 1 mm-hmm. and Airport Road.
Mm-hmm.
So it's northwest of that intersection.
How many miles north of town?
It's 2 miles.
2 miles. And how many acres are we talking about?
It's 140 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And 67 of those acres will either be in agriculture or in parkland. And we are seeking someone to come and be a permaculture farmer within the land, within the building community. So in addition to the row crops that we're going to be planting, fruit trees and nut trees and berries that would be maintained by this permaculture farmer with the intent of supporting a local sources of food, but also somebody's going to be running a business. And so agriculture is going to be an integral part of people's lives as they walk down the street. And
right.
You can have a fruit salad as you walk to the meditation hall.
Wow. That sounds really
fantastic. And this exists, so it's not, like, completely wild and crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it does exist.
Per individual, per acre, in terms of being able to sustain, fruits and vegetables and the food sources.
Mm-hmm. Well, once you subtract out all the area that we're not building on, we're looking at 5 to 7 units per acre.
Units are homes.
Units are,
lots.
If you get a triplex, that's 3 units.
That's why I'm
saying units rather than lots, because you could have a triplex and you'd have 3 units and 1 lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that would be 43 in the southeast quadrant, which is the first area we're building out, is 43 buildings and 62 units. currently is what's on the site plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just going to take a moment here. We're going to take a break and identify who we are. You are listening to KRUULP 100.1 FM, The Voice of Fairfield, Iowa. I am Erica Richards, and you are listening to In Depth with Erica Richards. And our topic today is eco-villages, particularly the up-and-coming eco-village in planning north of town called Cypress Villages. And our guest today is Martha Norbeck. She is a sustainability specialist who has been hired to help plan this community. And we're kind of going through the nuts and the bolts and trying to educate everyone what it's about, and maybe it might be something that you would be interested in participating in.
Well, if I can just interject.
Yes, please.
We're an eco-village is a very unique place, and we're not presupposing that we are going to be an eco-village. We're trying to create a community where people can live comfortably with a smaller footprint.
Smaller footprint. That's an interesting buzzword. Tell people what that means.
Each one of us has an ecological footprint, and the ecological footprint represents how many acres of land would be required to sustain us. That includes, and how many resources would be required to sustain us, including all the driving we do, and then you add in all the products we use. Mm-hmm. Every one of those products has energy that's tied up into its production and its delivery to your space. And then there's all these things you're not aware of in terms of water treatment and the strip mining in Montana and the mountaintop removal in Tennessee, and an ecological footprint, which looks at the larger. I'm going to be totally wrong on this, but the scale is about right. I think the American footprint is 21 acres, mm-hmm. and the Chinese footprint, I think, is like 4.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if that's correct. If you go online, you can actually look that up. On, if you just type in search word ecological footprint or a footprint calculator, you can come up with it.
So here in Fairfield, it's just as an average. We can't break it down in terms of where we live or, you know.
Yes, you can.
You can. So how would it look if I were to, you know, living here in Fairfield, and if I were to move and participate in Cypress Villages, how would I change my footprint?
Well, you could actually find out in a few minutes online. If you go to calculate your footprint, your carbon footprint, you can go and do that and put in things like how many times a year you take a plane, how many miles you drive, what size is your house, where do you buy your food. And then you put all that in, and it comes out with a number. And then you can go back in and redo it and see what the difference is by making those changes. So we can actually individually measure it. Mm-hmm. And all of this is sort of like putting, you know, a hand in a black box, because, you know, it is not entirely scientific, but it gives you an understanding of the scale of your impact. And someone who lives in a city, for example, if you live within walking distance of where you shop and where you work, your footprint will be less than half of someone who has to drive to work. I mean, not drive like 5 minutes, but like a commute, who has to drive to work and drive everywhere else. And so urban city dwellers actually have a footprint that's half as small.
Fascinating.
As someone living in a suburb.
Who would have thought? Interesting. And so what would you predict a footprint would be of a individual living in a community like Cypress Villages?
Well, it would be substantially smaller. I won't predict acres because I don't really have any idea.
Right.
I'll have to get online and do that.
That would be kind of interesting. That might be a nice marketing tool. Yeah. You know, change your footprint right up the road. And
well, it's interesting in Time, this week's Time, it has 51 ways to reduce your impact on global warming are from residential energy use, 16%. And residential homes use 20% of the total energy in the nation, and that doesn't include transportation to and from your home. It's pretty amazing.
Wow, that is really amazing. Well, I recommend anybody listening to the show definitely go do that. That certainly will create context for your life and some awareness, and that is really, really cool. I heard that, but I just never really understood how you could translate that. And so that's something interesting to think about when we're talking about a Cypress Village. So we would not define Cypress Village then as a classic eco-village. It's more, like you say, an intentional community.
Well, it's not even so. I mean, I guess it's intentional as any place any where other you build place where buildings.
You could be intentional and be very irresponsible with the way you're living on the planet.
Well, this is getting beyond my expertise, but I don't know what the exact definition of an intentional community is. But every time you build a home, it's intentional. I mean, it's not like, oops, I built a house. But the idea of Cypress Villages is that the homes and land planning are being designed in a manner to use 50 to 60% less energy than an average code-compliant home in the U.S. And we are calling manufacturers, how big are the trees that you cut down to make these studs that we're buying? What toxins are present or not present in your adhesives? What is that paint made out of? What is that glue made out of? Where's that tile coming from? If you're going to have granite, is that coming in from Brazil? And so we're asking all these questions of where things are coming from and trying to choose local materials and support. So we are working with a number of local sources to actually get previous roads that have now been torn up to grind them up to use them as the base of our new roads.
Wow.
And so if all goes well, and I'm so excited about this, if all goes well, we will not use any new quarried aggregate for the project.
Wow. So
In the base.
So really everything is recyclable. I mean, just about everything, if you do it right and you look at it in the right way, you can recycle just about anything.
Yeah. That's a complicated question.
I know. Sorry. But I did not know you could reuse roads. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I'm throwing a broad question at you. But in terms of Cypress Villages, certainly anything that can be reused or recycled in terms of building will certainly be done.
Yeah, we're creating a marriage between, marriage might not be the right word, a relationship between the MSV principles, the Maharishi
Stapatavade,
and the green design principles. And so we have to consider broader implications of the material choices we make beyond just the energy impacts.
Mm-hmm.
And so some things are more appropriate for use than others, mm-hmm. and we've been taking that into account. But ultimately, we are trying to create the smallest footprint we can per house. And the exact materials we use might vary, but the total intent is to try and create as small of an impact as possible.
Now, these houses will be stick-built.
Yes.
They won't be modular in any way.
Correct.
Okay. And I understand there are, what I could tell from the website, there are 75 lots available. Now, whether those be for individual homes or duplexes, triplexes, lots are designated for a single family versus a triplex.
There are actually more like 120 lots.
I see.
I should really review.
What was that number 75 that I saw?
I think that may be a reference to the first phase.
I see. Okay.
And we have modified the first phase with the intention of trying to create as much community as quickly as possible. So the southeast portion also will be involving a commercial mm-hmm. component. And we have been discussing with a number of local businesses of how to develop that. And so it's logical that you would be building those homes first to create that connection.
Yes.
And it is within a quarter of a mile, 5 minutes.
Wow. Now, when you're looking at planning a community like that, those are all the things that you take into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're buying the land, was that taken into consideration when this particular area was chosen?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Very good.
That was before my time.
Before your time. That's okay. There's just so many questions about how someone can participate in something like this. And I just kind of would like for you to give me kind of an overall look at, first of all, what kind of interest is getting generated at this point? What kind of feedback are you getting?
I've been very excited about the feedback. People have asked some tough questions, mm-hmm. which have, you know, led us to refine more. That's very exciting because that helps us produce a better community. And we have, I think, over 100 people have come to information sessions. Mm-hmm. I think there's over 1,000 people who are receiving email updates. And a number of people, and I'm not the person who can say how many because I'm not keeping track of that, but there are more than a few dozen who have put down earnest money, which essentially gives some of the lots are, you know, in a nicer spot than others. And so,
a few dozen?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, I don't know if it's a couple dozen or a few dozen. It's a number of people.
That's quite a,
enough to make us very excited.
Absolutely. So really, because that really is quite a commitment to plot down. I believe it's $2,500 mm-hmm. to reserve mm-hmm. a lot as a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a refundable amount of money?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And from what I could see on the website, the time frame looks like April 1st, 2007 was the first date for... it was a pre-sale date, beginning mm-hmm. to pre-sale?
Yeah, to begin to pre-sale. And we have had folks coming in, and we've been talking through one-on-one more of the details of the project. And we, you know, some critical path items for us are design of the wastewater treatment. We're looking to hopefully do on-site wastewater treatment with a wetland processing system, a submerged wetland, which we're very excited about. And so that's a critical path item, getting the roads designed, pinning down exactly where the lots are, because since we have done this redesign in light of the contours of the land and mm-hmm. reducing density, we mm-hmm. need to reevaluate the exact. I have reason to believe we should be able to look at scheduling breaking ground in June, early June.
For the first home?
For... Site work
for mm-hmm. developing, putting in the
putting in utility connections, and you have to get in your fresh water and your wastewater and your roads and mm-hmm. because you know you can't put in the house without all those other things.
That's right. So and I know we're jumping around here a little bit, but I'm trying to give a broad context and a broad look at what's going on here. Tell me. Certainly, the homes are the priority. Once the homes are up, you are going to be putting in, the utilities, which are going to be different than what most of us are experiencing right now. So talk to me about some of the ways that we're going to provide energy. And you know what? Let me take a quick break, and we're going to talk about the sustainable energy features that will be implemented that people can take advantage of. You're listening to KRUULP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. My name is Erica Richards. You are listening to In Depth with Erica Richards, and we are discussing a new community that's in the plans for north of town, about 2 miles. It's going to be called Cypress Villages. My guest today is Martha Norbeck. She is a sustainability specialist from Iowa City who has moved here and joined the Cypress Villages group, helping to plan the scope of it, and is offering her services so that people can have a very unique way of life here in Fairfield. Martha, we're getting into now a little bit more of the specifics in terms of, as a sustainability specialist, what you would like to see implemented, what the plans are for implementation, and let's talk about, of course, energy, but also how the acreage is going to be planned so that the food resources will be able to sustain the people who are living in that environment.
Well, as far as the energy goes, there's sort of in green design, there's 5 major components to consider, which is site, water, energy, materials, and then air quality. And so a well-designed green project will incorporate all those considerations. I know we're all talking about global warming and we've got to reduce carbon emissions, but all those other pieces provide services to us in terms of cleaning water and pollinating our flowers and and providing a vibrant soil community to grow food in. All these things are very important to our overall success as a species. But to focus on the energy in particular, batteries are tough in terms of alternative energy. They require a fair bit of vigilance, and I know that have been successful with using batteries at Abundance Eco Village and also at Lonnie Gamble's. He's been living totally off the grid, and that is so fabulous. Where you're less involved in the green components, just so that, you know, some people love to live that way, and I actually hope my house will be off the grid soon. but in terms of just keeping maintenance down for these systems, we're going to use Alliant Grid as our huge battery, basically. And Alliant allows something called net metering, which means, for example, if you had a wind turbine or a solar cell that generated, say, 100 kilowatts one day, and then it was cloudy the next day and no wind, and so you used 100 kilowatts, you'd come up with net zero. And so our ultimate goal is net zero. I think that'll probably take some time to achieve, and that will be something that will develop over time. But we are, right off the bat, going to be incorporating wind and solar to some extent, mm-hmm. and also solar hot water heating. And that will be, the solar hot water heating will be standard for every home.
Every home.
And that will help. It will also be for the domestic hot water for showering and washing clothes, but also for heating the radiant heat and floor heat.
Greenhouses?
Greenhouses, that's a new question. We are looking at greenhouses, a large commercial-sized greenhouses on the property, but we haven't actually discussed it on a house-by-house basis.
The intent would be that that acreage would sustain the number of people on that property. Is that part of the thinking when you talk about fruit trees, if you talk about ways of being able to eat off the land? And
yeah, it's not necessarily so much of a direct relationship because, you know, if you have 50 apple trees, for example, people are going to get really tired of apples.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to spread it out. Before the 1940s, I was actually the largest producer nationally of apples.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
That is
so
amazing.
We need to bring that back.
Absolutely.
So I know that there are several orchards in the area, and they make cider, and they make applesauce, and they sell their apples in a variety of different ways that they process those. And so there would be some direct link between what's produced, but obviously if you have a bumper crop of tomatoes, that may be more tomatoes than the local, you know, community is going to absorb.
Can absorb.
Maybe there's a rash of people who hate tomatoes maintaining those. Two is that you're providing a landscape benefit for the folks who live there because it's just pretty and fruit trees have those lovely flowers. And thirdly, you're creating a connection between your day-to-day life and where your food comes from. The average meal travels 1,200 miles to be on your table. 1,200
wow.
miles. And if you go to the Leopold Center, which is at ISU, they have fabulous studies on the embodied energy of, say, a pineapple from Hawaii versus Costa Rica. And so to bring our food to be local, to support by fresh, by local, is an enormous contribution towards sustainability. And so if it's not eaten by someone at Cypress Villages, it's going to be eaten by somebody in Iowa.
In Iowa, yeah. And we have the program pretty well in place here in Fairfield, which is really, really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it makes it possible for this to happen in Fairfield.
Yes.
I don't know where else in Iowa it could happen at this time.
Yes.
Fairfield is just really supportive of local business, which makes it possible to envision these things.
And it's interesting. The thought just crossed my mind. In some sense, we're following the models in Europe because we do have a central village here in Fairfield that makes it possible for Abundance Eco Village, Cypress Village, even Maharishi Vedic City to exist as satellite villages around the central location of the village. So it really kind of does model that in a sense, doesn't it? And it's a reciprocal relationship between the two. That's really cool. Okay, obviously Cypress Villages is a unique vision. But what it also is incredibly unique about this project is how it's going to get done. The subtitle to Cypress Villages is that it is a land-grant development corporation. And there are buzzwords floating around that there is free land available, that there are many different ways for people to participate. So just talk to me, if you can, a little bit about what that means, how people can come about getting free land, what is required of them. And, of course, I see also on the website there are options for people who can just go ahead and get a direct mortgage for their home site.
I will
call in and we'll go into more detail around those issues. But in case we don't hear from him, I think it's important.
Yep. Well, the idea of free land is to make it possible for people to get into a home. Mm-hmm. And so every site is essentially considered equal in terms of the initial mortgage. And so in order to achieve this, let me back up. Okay, so the idea is that when you commit to build a home on the land, that you are acquiring the land as part of that commitment to build the home.
Got it.
And we are not doing the financing. We're actually working with Wells Fargo Bank to do the financing. They're very supportive of green development. They are trying to incorporate more green things within their own mm-hmm. operations. Mm-hmm. And they are also very flexible in terms of incorporating needs of people who normally can't get into a home.
Excellent.
And so we're very, very excited about that.
Who owns the land right now? Cypress Villages?
The Land Development Corporation Group.
I see. Okay. They own
of
that.
Which Dan Walker is one of the members.
I see.
And it describes that on the website.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Now, also it talks about sustainable jobs. Now, when you are talking about sustainable jobs, is this in light of, and for lack of a better word, like a bartering system, so that when you talk about land, free land and, you know, earnest money and being able to develop property there, are there ways that someone who has a very specific skill can do a bartering trade situation as a way to, because when you talk about jobs, I'm just wondering if it's connected to the way that you can have a free plot of land. So you have a free plot of land, and then you can come and, you know, do some work that off in a way that is a particular skill that helps the community to grow and thrive.
Well, it's the basic idea behind the free jobs is that in creating the community, there are many opportunities, such as a daycare would be wonderful to have on site. A restaurant would be great to have in the commercial area. It would be fabulous to have someone running a nursery there for trees. We want to have as many trees as we can manage to.
I see. So when you talk about jobs, that's a long-term commitment. It's not a commitment that you're looking for in order to build a community at the moment.
Well, it's both, actually.
It's both. Okay.
One is that once we start construction, of course, there will be a lot of need to provide local jobs to people for construction.
Mm-hmm.
And then currently, construction, the need for people to participate is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's marketing, and then there's real estate concerns. So this is generating a lot of opportunities for people.
Yes.
But in terms of a barter system, we're sort of taking a more straightforward capitalist approach to
it. Got it. That's a very, very interesting, good point, because if you look at this just on the surface level, that was my first impression, mm-hmm. that there were all these different possibilities of relationships and bartering systems, and so we want to make this very, very clear. This is a very straightforward financial arrangement.
Well, one of the challenges, we're doing so many things that are pushing the envelope in terms of this project and the buildings themselves and offering free land. That other components, we're being more typical in our choices, just to essentially manage how far we push it, because that incremental growth is a little easier than trying everything new at once, because the likelihood of success is a little bit lower when everything is completely reinvented. So we're sticking with a lot of
mainstream ways of doing things, just to get the thing going, and then perhaps there'll be some more wiggle room later on for these other ways of doing things. And
we're not shutting that out. Yes. We just need to make this happen.
Yes.
And
in a way that's a proven way to do it. You had mentioned earlier in the show that, as an example, you're looking for a permaculture expert. Talk to me, give me kind of a litany of some of those other kinds of things that you're looking for over the long haul in terms of expertise.
Well, definitely, a build out with 220 some homes, we're talking 600-700 people, many children. So daycare is a really important component. I have heard that there's more restaurants per capita in Fairfield than in San Francisco. So, of course, a restaurant is going to be inevitable. And also, there are a lot of locally produced, bringing several retail warehouse companies into the site so that they can run their internet business and have a retail presence. And I foresee that certainly one person is not going to be able to maintain an orchard full of trees. So I think that the food production component will be a very, very large part of Cypress Villages. And I absolutely would love to have a nursery on site for really the first, 6-7 years at least, because, trees take a lot of care and time, and we want to make sure they're successful.
There will be, is this going to be eventually an incorporated, will Cypress Villages be incorporated as its own city, like Marashi Vedic City is?
That is not the intention at this time.
Okay. So there won't be a separate address. It'll just be Fairfield, Iowa, or it'll be, it'll be care of Cypress Villages, Fairfield, Iowa.
Now, we're currently looking at establishing a subdivision within Jefferson County that would be unincorporated.
I see.
What the future holds, I do not know.
I see. So right now you're operating under subdivision codes and things like that within the county. All right. That's an important distinction. I'm going to take a quick break. You're listening to KRUULP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. You are listening to In Depth with Erica Richards, and ta-da! I'm Erica Richards, and the show today is, we are talking about sustainable living with as it pertains particularly to a new project coming to fruition north of town called Cypress Villages. Martha Norbeck is in the studio today. She is a sustainability specialist originally from Iowa City. She's been hired by Dan Walker and the Walker Group, which is the parent company for this land grant development. And Martha has been with us since January, and she's traveled to Europe. She's quite the expert on having studied eco-village systems and sustainability systems, and she's a really critical component in the success of this really, really amazing project. And thank you for coming today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, this is a really fascinating area, and we have a lot of different lifestyles, a lot of different ways of supporting ourselves, and we have different economies that are sort of bumping up against each other. And I just want to talk in our last few minutes about some of the challenges that we have dealt with over the years for different reasons. We had a show here a few weeks ago around these large contained animal feeding operations. We had a couple of folks in the studio who make their living as hog farmers, and they were really, really, really fantastic in educating us about the realities of the economies of here in Jefferson County. You know, we have a lot of push and pull between the communities that want to go organic, the communities that, you know, don't want to do away with agriculture but want to get back to more of the small farming way of you know, economies. And you know, this morning at the Jefferson County Supervisors meeting, there were some farmers there who wanted to just talk about some of their concerns, which were certainly legitimate, and they just wanted to bring up a few questions about the realities of kind of having this community in the middle of a very, very productive agricultural community. And I'm going to go through just some of their concerns that came up, and you can address them as you can. And if you wanted to defer that to, you know, another guest at some other time, you can certainly do that. You know, I think that one of their concerns is once people commit to buying these lots, they're going to be in an area that's right next to the airport. They will be certainly in the middle of a farming agricultural area where there will be spraying of herbicides. They will be a lot of combines. It's intense. If you've ever lived around a big farming operation, it's not all bunnies and meadows. It's a real, real, you know, busy place. How would you address those concerns that to your potential future buyers of this property?
Well, since it is Iowa, agriculture is an integral part of our lives. I mean, there's no way around it. That's Iowa. And it's very clear looking at the site map where we're located. And as I've already discussed, we are going to support agriculture within the site, but it will be a niche marketing approach, and which is aiming towards a different market. But we're not trying to pretend that there won't be 6 or 7 flights a day. We're not trying to pretend that people won't be working their fields. Of course they will. I mean, we're not trying to pretend that that's going to go away. That is the reality of the location. And I'm glad that they brought these things up. I think it's important to talk about these things ahead of time. And if Cypress Villages is not going to be a Chicago suburb, it's not going to be even, you know, an Iowa City suburb. It's a different place with a different character, and it's connected to a community that's much more deeply embedded in agriculture than, say, Iowa City.
Yep. So when you're marketing, shopping the idea, people are very, very clear what they're going to be getting.
A lot of people have asked about the airport in particular. No one has asked about the agricultural practices, but now that this has come up, we are going to be addressing that in addition.
I see. We have a guest. Fantastic. I think Dan is calling in.
Are you there, Dan?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Dan. This is Erica Richards, and I'm with Martha Norbeck in the studio. We're joined now by Dan Walker, who is at the center of this project. And he is Dan Walker. Dan, you're the parent company of Cypress Villages Land Development Project?
Right.
Okay. And, you know, we've been really just all over the map trying to define what this is and what people can anticipate. And I think that what we would like for you to help us out with is to give us what would be the phases between earnest money and actually being able to live in this community?
Hi, Erica. Where we're at right now is we are not building speculative houses. We are doing pre-sales of homes. The whole focus of our project has been to see how inexpensively we could build high-quality, sustainable Maharshi Stapachevate homes. Mm. And so we've done everything we could at every price point, from the land, which, as you know, we're basically absorbing that cost, to the finance fees, to the lumber, to the windows. Every price point in the project we've tried to get down as low as we can. So if a person puts down the $2,500 deposit, what that does is that allows us to go to the next step with our financing sources to then the next step would be to we are very close. I think Martha's probably been telling you. We're very close to converging on having our designs finalized, on the
yes.
Spotchev designs finalized.
Yes.
And we're very close to Jim Masterson and Brad Jennings have been working very hard with Martha and getting the prices on the homes. And so then the next step would be, in hopefully just a few weeks, to actually convert that earnest money deposit to a contract to build a home. And we anticipate we could start building as early as June or July.
Now, when you say that you're absorbing the price of the land, what does that mean? So that all of this land is free if it's developed. Talk to me about that. What does it mean by free?
The original concept was we wanted to truthfully and completely be able to say that the land is free. We wanted to have a free land project. But at the same time, we have a business that we're operating in, that we have investors involved. And so what we were able to do is offer the land free with the caveat, as I said, lowering every price point. And when we build the homes, we are lowering the overhead and we're lowering the profit on the homes for a bulk, large project. And the little bit of profit that we're still charging, we're using our own profits to pay back the land, pay off the land.
I see.
That's what I mean by absorbing the land.
I see. Fascinating. And do you have a price point for square footage? Do you have that number yet that you can talk about? For instance, a Marcy Stepachevate home built north of campus would be so much per square foot. What would be the distinction within Cypress Villages?
Erica, we're very close to getting those prices to where we could, say what they are.
Okay, but not quite there yet.
Not quite there, but here's what we have done, if I could tell you.
Sure.
We've done cost comparisons of the new Marcy Stepachevate homes that have been built all over Jefferson County in the last 10 years. And from our price comparisons for what we're able to provide, when you consider the cost of the land, utilities, roads, infrastructure, and the house, we're lower than anybody else in the county.
Okay.
Including Marcy Stepachevate fees, architectural fees, everything. We are the lowest price. And at the same time, as I'm sure that you understand your listeners understand after having talked with Martha, our houses are going to have tremendous value. And we think people are really going to enjoy the opportunity to have these houses.
Excellent. And you're able to negotiate based on scale, that you plan on really developing quite a few sites and that you can negotiate based on the volume that you anticipate.
That's exactly right.
Excellent. Now, Martha tells me that you have a pretty healthy number of commitments already. Can you talk to me about that?
Well, it's a little bit premature. If you understand the earnest money, the people that have put that up, we have in the direction of 20, they can withdraw from the project. But
when someone puts down their earnest money, Dan, do you give them you hold their hand in the sense that you give them a projected look at what's to come?
That's correct.
Okay. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, again, what's to come is once they have the earnest money in, that the people in our project that are working on finances are able to use those statistics, you might say, in leveraging our position with our banks and so forth.
I see.
On the other hand, the other side of the project is just set about to do the engineering and architecture, is very close to getting the final prices done, and then everybody can come in and convert their earnest money escrows to an actual contract to build at a great price and great quality.
Now, will you act as the financing agent for individuals who need a mortgage? For instance, if someone who you know, has kind of a mediocre, you know, credit rating. Will you help them as a conduit? You know, I know that Martha had mentioned Wells Fargo. Are they going to work with the participants in, you know, kind of giving them a little bit of a break, or are you going to help that process along a little bit?
Well, we're definitely doing everything we can to assemble everything in one place so it's easy for people.
Okay.
And as Martha said, Wells Fargo they really like our project. The people there have been fantastic in saying that they've got over 150 different loan packages that they can direct people to.
Excellent.
What we've done is offer the land basically for free.
Excellent.
And that's like it's instant equity in the project.
Excellent, yes.
Wells Fargo recognizes that, and it's definitely going to help people qualify for a loan.
Fantastic, Dan. That's really exciting. We're closing in on the show here in the next minute or so. And could you tell me, you're going to be breaking ground to develop the infrastructure this summer?
We're shooting for June 1st for that date.
Very good. And then how long will that process take?
Well, everything will happen simultaneous. Once we start breaking ground, it's just a few weeks behind that, we'll be able to start the foundations for the first home.
Fantastic. That is really, really exciting. And Martha, of course, said that, you know, the sooner that you can sort of make a great showing of homes and people there, that will, of course, propagate more interest. And, hey, Dan, thank you so much. This is a really, really exciting project, and I look forward to having you on the show again in the next in the coming weeks to update us. And Martha is fantastic. She is fascinating. And
she is.
You are really, really fortunate to have her on board, and I look forward to having you both on the show again at some point. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Martha. You are listening to KRUU LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. This has been In Depth with Erica Richards. We've been talking to Martha Norbeck of Cypress Villages, talking about the sustainability aspects of this new community coming to town in the coming months. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and I look forward to talking to you again at some point. Thank you.